Android App Addict Show. This is episode number 437. This is the show where we talk about apps, we talk about stuff, we talk about how maybe we can alter our fingers so that our fingerprint readers will no longer open our home screens on our phones. I am Eric Ardini, used to be known as the Silicon Wrench, now Dini Media, and I am joined today, I'm the manager. I'm joined today with the, Linux maven, Android guru, small PC expert, Door-to-Door Geek. How you doing, Door?
I'm just a weenie or a nerd. For everyone listening, I just want to let you know, Eric didn't say anything, but now, the very beginning of every show, he's overly stressing on what he says first. Because Mark always says, welcome back, Android FX. Eric is trying to think of his own little thing to say. So I think he's doing fine, but I know he's a little bit overstressing. I'll tell you right now,
Eric. I'm just a speaking from experience, Door. That came from the heart, man. What are you saying?
I don't know. There's just a little news-related thing I got to tell you. It's a small world. It blows my mind, okay, kind of thing sometimes. My director, the guy I report to directly.
hence the name.
Well, he could be a supervisor, he could be a manager, but I report directly to a bigger guy. He took off starting Monday for a three-week excursion, And he's a retired Marine who doesn't like to go to places like Paris or the Louvre or they're in the same place. I know that's kind of stupid. Or like to like Mount Rushmore. He likes to go to places like Slovakia, Germany, just, you know, all kinds of out of the way places, I say. We had that attack, murder, and I believe attempt and suicide in a Turkish airport, I believe in Istanbul. I found out 2 hours after that that he was in that airport an hour before it happened.
Wow.
And most people would think, you know, now his vacation's ruined, he's going to be, you know, scarred or whatever. But no. He's a retired Marine. I'm sure he loves action. He's a retired Marine.
Okay. I just got to say something. Is he a retired Marine? Because the Marines I would know would never admit that there's such a thing as a retired Marine.
Well, he isn't an ex-Marine, because that would mean you, like, separation.
Pretty sure they're always a Marine for their life.
Well, yes, but when they're not active, they have to call themselves something.
Working
Marine. Non-commissioned Marine. I don't know, whatever. But yes, he is that kind of guy exactly, too. But, so I'm almost ecstatic to wait for him to come back from his trip to hear how he explains the whole experience. But he's on his way from, I believe, Turkey to Romania via a train to just witness people, experience towns, and just, do stuff. Which, that to me is not your normal vacation.
That's cool stuff, though. I mean, you get to see the good stuff and the bad stuff, but you get to see the not prepared stuff, the stuff that's not all laid out there for you to, you're going to see the stuff that you could actually not go and see on the internet anytime you want.
Right. Well, that's what one of the things he said he used to do was he used to go to the local or to the country's U.S. Political base, political office, whatever it's called.
Like City Hall?
To like the U.S.
Embassy. Yeah.
And he would tell them, and he would ask them, where should he go? What he said he would do is he would walk up to those places and then look down the street and go someplace else.
Oh, nice.
He said because he always wanted to go someplace that people didn't tell him to go, because A, it would cost less. If you go to the place everyone's telling you to go, it's going to cost more money. He said, and you get to meet real people who would speak to you like you're a real person, too. So he always has a blast doing that.
That sounds like a man's man, Door. I gotta say.
Oh, he is. He is. Whenever I talk to him during work, I just know that I'm less of a man.
Yeah, I know a few Marines. They would almost all fit that description. There's something about Marines that they're those kind of guys.
I know, and I'll say every good boss I've had in my life that I really respect and work with and will cover their butts are Marines. Because he tells me straight up, he's never going to stab me in my back. If he is going to do anything to me, he's going to stab me right in my face. and he's going to tell me it's coming because he's a Marine.
I had a Marine for a boss for a while, and the day that I got hired there, he's like, Eric, this job sucks. You don't want to work here. He was straight up with me. And then when I left, mm-hmm. 8 months later, he was right. I left, and then I opened up a new store, and I left, and I hired a guy, and he's like, why didn't you hire me, man? This place sucks. I told you that. I want out of here. So then I ended up hiring him, and he worked with me for, you know, like 6 years. Great dude.
We got to end this soon, but he did say he classifies himself as a builder. He wants to make people better. Well, of course, while he's there, he wants to do better products, better services, better whatever that the place is doing. But he really wants to make better people. And he said, anybody who stays here too long, obviously I'm not making you better. My goal is to make you better so you leave, and hopefully you can hire me when I'm useless.
That's neat.
So it's the same kind of mentality.
I'll give a shout out to John Boy. I don't know if he listens to the show or not, but he's the guy I was talking to. Great dude. And Marine. And the Marine, they're proud. I mean, they put the stickers in their cars to get the special plates if they're offered, and absolutely should be.
Well, they're definitely more manly than I am. When I was 18, I was getting drunk watching or playing video games.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I wasn't just, like, making stuff up at the beginning of the show. If you ever volunteer to work a catfish tournament...
I think your audio is going cuckoo.
Is it? Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, but you're like staticky, like thing.
Oh, really?
I just unplugged mine and plugged it back in, and it's still bad.
Okay, I'm gonna check plugs real quick. Test, test, test. Bad.
Yep.
Ooh. Let me look.
Let's see. Can you unplug and replug USB, or are you afraid? Wait a minute. Keep talking.
I could do that.
It went away.
So whatever it was is gone.
I think.
Okay. All right. Let me try. Just jiggling something. Are we good?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So if you ever get a chance to volunteer at a catfish tournament, make sure that you don't have to unlock your phone with your fingerprint. Because we had a catfish tournament, and it was my job. I volunteered. I got to drive an ATV through streets of a town, you know, like totally no signals, no anything, just illegal as crap with a big tank of catfish in the back. And it was my job to release them back into the river. You know, they'd get weighed in. I probably put 200 catfish back into the river. Yeah, and I never got stung once. I don't know if you have ever handled catfish, but they've got stingers on their dorsal and both their side fins. So, never got stung once. I did lose my wedding ring went flying off. But it was a replacement wedding ring anyway. So, on the second day of releasing catfish, I did lose that. The first day, it fell off and went, you know, going down the boat ramp, and I found it and threw it in my pocket, but the second day, I forgot about it. That's all right. AMZ Review Church got me. We got a new one shipped, $4. We're good. Anyway, the teeth in the inside of the flathead and channel cats, they scratched up my finger so much that I could not unlock my phone without typing in the PIN. So that's an unintended consequence of this volunteer work that I've done.
Okay, I thought you were going to say, like, your hand was so slimy or something, but...
No. Okay. It's just the little teeth. I mean, they don't bite you, but there's little teeth, and they just, I don't know, they're like sandpaper-ish, I guess.
So you were like catfish noodling in a tank.
In a Rubbermaid tub in the back of my ATV. I was noodling for catfish that have already been caught earlier in the day. But yeah, we had, I don't know, we had... 43 boat or 47 boats, 5 fish apiece for 2 days straight. That's a lot of fish.
Quite.
It was fun though. It was a good time. We've never done anything like that here before. I've never been a part of anything like that. It made me want to go out and go fishing though, because there's a lot of big fish out there to be caught. I probably won't know how to do it or get them or anything like that
though. Gotcha.
We have some emails, Dor. Do you want to talk about emails first? Or do you want to talk about apps first?
Well, let's start it off with an email.
Okay. You know what? First of all, I'd like to, before we even do the emails, I want to give a shout out to Ben Lawson. He is our latest Patreon pledger. He's given a $5 pledge. So basically, he's given $5 every month to the show, which is just barely over a dollar a show. Thank you, Ben. Ben Lawson is a cool dude. And you can use that as your ringtone, Ben, if you need to. Or if you need a special ringtone, I'll even, you know, we'll say something different. But... thank you for your Patreon support, and thank you for your support of the show and Podnuts. We appreciate that. The next one of his.
We actually have an email from him too.
Oh, let's
see. Yeah, Patreon and General Show Love.
Patreon and General Show. I am. Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm sorry. It was the only one I hadn't. It was like highlighted in bold, just so that I would see it, and it wasn't there, and I didn't see it. Okay. So Ben says, "Hey guys, I'm a huge fan of the show. I have a list of apps and games 3 pages long that I'm going to install as soon as I have time to play the games I have already downloaded." Know that feeling, Ben.
Mm-hmm. With you.
"I'm a huge fan of casual gaming and love the few older console games I was able to get on my Shield tablet, first gen, like Portal and Talos Principle and Cube, while also appreciating the true old school NES games through emulators, as well as the easier 5-minute waiting room games. You guys are the first podcast I play when a new episode is downloaded, and I'm going backwards listening to the older episodes as well. Think I'm back to around number 400 or so. Also, started to check out the other Podnuts podcast to see what fits my interests. I've been meaning to get on board with Patreon before today, but more recent real short episode where you threw us a list of 10 apps to remove as soon as possible, I appreciated that a ton. I had one on the list, a gallery app to remove on my tablet. One question. Do you guys have advice on a weather app that has a good lightning tracker? I recently moved to the Midwest." Hey, welcome, Ben. "And tonight is a big lightning night, by the way, Dor. I'm just saying. I recently moved to the Midwest, and that's a handy bit of info to have. WeatherBug has a great feature with Spark, but something about that app just bugs the hell out of me. Like taking away the older paid-for Elite app." Ben, totally with you, dude. I was a WeatherBug, an apologist for WeatherBug. I would pimp that to everybody. I'm like, oh, you know, and then people would come up to me, "What do you mean WeatherBug? I remember that on Windows, XP, and that was crappy." I'm like, dude, yeah, I was totally all about the WeatherBug. Yeah, and they took away the Elite, which was a powerful app with a $5 price tag. But there's no lightning tracking matter. Matter of fact, if you haven't reviewed the app, it's very detailed to the point that I turned off some of the pages to make it cleaner and faster, but there's a plethora of weather information. I wish I had a new app or game to offer. Otherwise, I don't. But love the show. You guys are great. Ben." Ben, you're great. Thank you for the awesome email. Like I said, Spark and WeatherBug. I personally, there's a couple apps. I don't use WeatherBug at all anymore. And I think WeatherBug, I used to have because of Amazon. For some reason, the Amazon App Store had me using it. But I use Dark Sky currently. I mean, and I don't know if these are light. This isn't really lightning specific. So, right. But I don't have anything. I'm just reading your email now, so I may look into it later. But I personally, I use Dark Sky all the time, and I use Raindar when I know that there's something close.
Right.
And Raindar is an app that I had used in the past, but then when I spoke to Chuck when we were out in Washington for the Linux Fest, or for NELF, not NELF, what were we out there for? Linux Fest Northwest. Chuck says, "Yeah, I use Raindar all the time. Thanks for the app, because it rains every day there, so it's good to have Raindar." But neither of those, I don't think either of those do lightning specific.
Right. I'll say I was in our Mattermost server. And for everyone who does not know about Mattermost, think about it as a private IRC server, private IRC channel. Only Podnutsians are on it. Only people who ask to be on it are on it. So it's not busy. And it's only people who are really into Podnuts on it. There was a guy on there who one day I said, "Man, it's storming really bad out of here." He sent me 2 web links. One of them was showing me interactively lightning strikes. So I'm going to ask him if he has any lightning Android apps that he knows of. But I did find one. I did put it in the chat, Eric. It has a name called Blitzo Tongue Lightning Tracker. Now, apparently, Blitzo Tongue, BLITZORTUNG, is apparently a lightning tracking network. Okay, there's no video on this app, but I'll tell you right now, that very first screenshot, you see some circles on the screen. When lightning hits, or when lightning happens, it is shown in a dynamic fashion on this map as a circle, like exploding circle coming out, that's when the lightning hits, and then it leaves a little dot around for at least a couple minutes, showing you that there's where lightning is hitting. This looks to me a lot like one of those websites that I was given in the Mattermost server. So this is going to be my suggestion to at least play with in the beginning. We'll see if that's one that gets recommended. If there's a better app that gets recommended, I will.
That's by WUAN Weather, right? Wuan Weather?
It's by Anthony M. Nixon.
Oh, I must have the wrong one.
Yeah, because there was two of them. That was Blitztorig Lightning Monitor. If you do Blitztorig Lightning Tracker by Anthony M. Nixon, cloud, gray clouds, white lightning, black and white picture, icon. This isn't
that looks better.
Well, and it isn't a heavily installed app, only 163 reviews, 10,000, between 10,000 and 50,000 downloads. So it isn't like, you know, crazy popular, but I honestly think this is going to give him what he wants.
Yeah. And hey, Ben, if you're in the Midwest, hit me up on Google Plus and maybe we can do a meetup sometime. We got Patreon subscribers and things. I don't know about you, Dor, but I would totally meet up with our people who support the show anytime. I go to some bigger towns around the place.
Well, no, I won't. Well, of course I would.
I'm just saying.
Okay, I'm going to shoot him a quick email just with the link in it. So, Ben, when you get an email and it just has the link in it, it's because I'm doing it live during a show. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it.
Few words, much good content from Dor.
Much good.
That email.
Very cool.
All right, we have another email, and this one is from Mike N. And Mike N. has a couple grocery store apps for us. He says, "Hey, addicts, long-time listener, first-time submitter." Well, thank you, Mike. I'm glad that you stepped out of your comfort zone and sent us an email. It's great. I hope these aren't already in the attic. The first one I have is Bring, and he gives the link to Bring. He says, "It's an app that makes a grocery list using easy-to-see pictures. Another feature is that the list is shareable to others so they can add and subtract to it. That way there's no need to call and ask, do we need this or that?" So you could just share the app with your spouse, and while they're at the store, you can add things to it. And so when they think they're done, a couple more things pop up, and they have to go to the back part of the store, right? Or is that how that would work?
It sounds like it.
That's good, yeah. Just say, "No, I don't need nothing, honey. Go ahead and go to the store," and then just start adding stuff as you're sitting in your leisure chair and they're shopping. Okay. So the second app, and I've never used Bring. I will check it out. The second app he suggests, it is definitely in the attic, and I brought this a long time ago. And this is still my to-go app because, all right, I'll just go ahead and read. The second app I found is called KeyRing, Coupon and Sales. The stores all have those store value cards into your phone, so you don't have to have that jumbled mess on your keychain. It's easy to input all your loyalty cards. However, if your phone has a case, sometimes the scanner on the checkout machine can't read it. But if the cashier has a handheld scanner, it has read it 100% of the time. Hope these apps work out for you as well as they have for me. Battery 75%. Even though I'm not on my phone, it's charging next to me. Mike. Well, sounds like Mike must have been using his phone a little bit earlier before he plugged it in. So KeyRing. Oh, man. I don't keep any loyalty cards anymore. They are all stored into KeyRing. And even if it's a really obscure place out of town that I don't even ever go to, I'll sign up for the thing, get their 10% off or whatever the deal is that day, keep it in there, and it just works great. I would say maybe 50% of the time they can just scan my phone and it works. I would say the other half of the time they actually have to type it in, which is not, I don't think that's a fault of KeyRing app or my phone. I think that's a fault of their scanner. If they were to upgrade their scanners to something a little nicer, it would scan phones. They should do that by now. That's not my fault. They can type it in. It has worked at gas pumps for me just fine, though. And it seems like those scanners are upgraded enough that I can use it there. It's nice. Can't recommend KeyRing enough. And I've paid for whatever the upgrade is,
right,
for a long time.
Yeah, you brought this, it had to be 2 years ago, to the show or something like that. And the very first stores I tried to use it in, like first three or four, none of the scanners worked. But since then, I believe my main grocery store I go to, where every $100 I spend, I get 10 cents off a gallon. They actually now implemented, if you don't have the actual card in your hand, you cannot do it. Because I think what happened was they had families or neighbors and like groups of people all using the same card, the same numbers, so they could all share in getting more credits and more discounts on their gas. So now if you don't have the real card, they won't even do it for you.
I brought this to episode 60.
Oh, wow.
Timster was on episode 60.
Yeah, that was a little while ago. Okay, and now
Steve C was...
Steve C was on. Now, the other app, Bring Shopping List, I'm going to tell you right now, I love the idea of pictures on a list, but what it looks like is all these is like avatar pictures. They're not like... Because this is almost perfect for me, because when my wife asks me, do me a favor, go to the store, pick up stamps. And I say, is there anything else you want? Oh, I want this. Well, okay, you want ice cream. What kind of ice cream? There's hundreds of kinds of ice cream. What kind of ice cream do you want? Well, give me this Häagen-Dazs gelato lemoncita. Excuse me? What the hell is that? You know? And then if I had an actual picture of the item, then I know it would be much easier for me to find, because I'm that idiot who she's asked me to get something. I've walked up to the thing. I've scanned. I don't see it. And I'm the idiot who sits there for almost 5 minutes scanning, and I don't see it.
Häagen-Dazs has a lot of flavors.
Well,
I'm with you, sir.
So then I always ask her what's her backup, and she always gives me a backup item, no matter what she wants, chips, a drink, whatever. So then I end up getting the backup. Next week we go to the store, and she said, it's right here.
Yeah, right there.
But if I had the picture, I'd be, I think, less likely to make those mistakes. So avatars, I think, aren't bad. These quote-unquote images, they're not bad, but they're not completing the circle. Also, to really make that shopping list app work, in my opinion, you probably have to have people use the app cooperatively. And nothing I bring to my wife, technology-wise, is ever by default accepted. I always have to prove this is why you need it. You know, it saves starving kids in Africa. Or, you know, whatever. I have to always absurdly prove to her why she needs to use something. If it's just something like this, she'll say, that's stupid. Just write it down.
The avatars wouldn't work for me either, because the things that I have to buy, I've got one person who's allergic to wheat and the other person who can't eat anything with gluten. So basically the same. I mean, neither of them can eat that stuff, really, for different reasons. So you can't just buy chips. You have to read the packages. And yeah, if she could send just like a picture of the one that's already there and approved and everybody's stomach was agreeing with it, I could see your point there, Jordan. It would help a lot.
Well, I really don't like pleading ignorance or being an idiot, but it seems like it's in my nature, when given the opportunity to look like an idiot to my wife, I subconsciously gravitate towards that option.
Because you love her.
I don't, because I'm so distracted by her beauty. That's what I try to tell her, to which she calls me a stinking liar.
Oh, it's just like day one when you saw her, you're like, blah, 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 mm-hmm. And you just want to keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand that, Dora. That's love, man.
What is love? Nice. Baby, don't hurt me.
More.
Baby, don't hurt me. No more.
All right, no more of that.
Okay.
All right, did we have another?
Yep. I believe from Todd, the Robin Hood thing that you mentioned.
Oh, Todd, yes. Okay, yes.
Which I don't even know what this Robin Hood thing is, so you're going to have to explain it to me.
Well, maybe Todd will. I'll read his email, and then I'll go into it, because I have been there. Todd Evans, longtime listener and longtime contributor to the show. Thank you, Todd. Hey, guys. Hi, Todd Evans. Your phone is ringing. I'm just going to give out some ringtones today, okay? So take that if you can. Hey, guys. I've been using the Robinhood app for a couple of months now. I originally downloaded it because I was curious about no fees charged for trades. I thought it would be limited to certain stock picks or prices. I was pleasantly surprised that there is none of that. I'm definitely a low-level trader with very little threshold for loss. I like learning about the process and the companies that I choose to trade. Generally, I do stocks that are under 20 bucks. It hurts less if you begin to see the price slide, since it costs nothing to sell. it's easy to bail if you feel the need. I can imagine that this is not Dora's cup of tea since it involves a household conversation with a caretaker of funds. I totally get that. It does, however, make it relatively painless to dip your toe into the pool. For example, I purchased a single share of Chrysler Fiat for $6.05. The price tumbled a bit today, Brexit vote on June 24th. I think I can handle the 62-cent loss if I decide to sell. Better yet, the stock is cheaper, so maybe I'll buy one more share. I just like the fact that I don't have to deposit large sums with a brokerage and pay $5 to $10 per trade. Because of this app, I can safely dabble in the market with very small sums of money. As always, keep up the great show. And a note to my fellow listeners, support at patreon.com/androidappaddicts. Thank you, Todd. Okay, so Todd, I saw the Robinhood app, and it was just a freak accident of bad timing with me. I signed up for the Robinhood app. I thought, I'm the same thing. I'm like, hey, I'll take a couple $100 and play in the stock market because I've got an investor, and he's a really good investor, and he's taking care of my retirement. But I can't just leave that alone. I call him up, and I'm like, pull me out of the market.
Jeez.
Which he did, and he kind of praised me. He's like, okay, you did see that coming. You didn't, you know, I'm fine. But I can't. And so right at the Brexit, that same day probably, Todd, I told him to put all my money back in. At this point, I'd like to pull it back out again. But this is the thing. When you've got an investor, Todd's right. You're spent in $5 to $10? No. If I'm pulling in and out with my guy, it's way more than that. And I liked the idea of Robinhood, and I signed up for it, and they deposited two deposits into my bank account. And they wanted me just to verify that this is my actual bank account, you know, like PayPal does when you first start up with PayPal, right? Or a lot of different places do this. And I had no access to the internet, and the access that I had to the internet at the time I did not feel secure with because I was in hotels and things at the time. I missed my period of verification, and I let it lapse, and I don't know if Robinhood's going to let me in or not again. But no, Todd, I am totally with you. This is the way I would like. I mean, honestly, at this point, I don't have any money to play in the market, but the market, he's talking about the stock market. And I would like to mess around a little bit with that. And I would probably do something that, you know, ties directly with the Dow Jones Industrial Average, because that seems like a pretty easy metric to kind of figure out. It doesn't seem like it seems like when you think it's going to go down, it does. And when you think it's going to go up, it does. Individual stocks, that's another thing. I mean, I used to own a lot of Walmart stock back in the day, back when we used to split all the time, and it helped my long-term stuff out. Okay. But yeah, Todd, attaboy for giving it a try. I hope you make a few bucks off it. I'm sure you will. Anybody who's smart enough to listen to this show and play in the stock market's got to be a winner, right?
Well, smarter than I. So I'm going to guess this is just the New York Stock Exchange. Or in NASDAQ. There's no Hong Kong trading or London Stock Exchange trading going on. I'm going to guess. I don't know. I kind of like the idea of this. I'll say this.
You'd not like the idea of free trading, you know, when it doesn't cost you anything to buy and sell.
Oh, it costs. It costs in time and attention.
Well, yeah, okay. No, you have to invest you got to do some
research.
Smart stuff.
Yeah. If I wasn't a computer nerd, if I wasn't into mini computers and apps and doing all this other stuff, I could see myself wasting away, spending a lot of time analyzing this kind of thing, because it does seem, I'll say this, a lot of it seems counterintuitive. When to be bullish, when to be bearish. Hey, I know those two terms. You know, might not make a lot of sense to the newest person like me, but I do find this kind of thing almost fascinating. What I love about it is you join, they give you $10 so you can experience it. With, of course, with the hope and the promise, you do this for a long time. This isn't kids' games, though. This is an actual federal secured platform kind of thing where you can actually get protection from them for up to $500,000 and the like. So I love this if you're getting into this. My logic is if you're already into this game, you're going to have your own E-Trade, this and that. Requiring, I would think, more information, feedback from the system, like when you use thing like E-Trade. But if you're just getting into it and you want to dabble in it and you want to learn and you want to watch and you want to experience, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think to try it for free, I mean, you're if you invest a little bit of time and a little bit of brain cycles at it, why would you not do this if there's no cost to it over, like, say, lottery tickets or gambling or something? It's really gambling, but you actually could have, you know, when you put some skin in the game, you could make some money. You know what I mean?
Well, I know, but I always lean on George Harrison when I'm confused. And he said, it's going to take time. It's going to take some precious time. And it's going to take money, a whole lot of spending money. And that's what
Is that the Traveling Wilburys?
No, that's George Harrison.
Is it? Oh, okay. Right.
Weird Al did the mock of the song called "This Song Is Only 6 Words Long." I wish I had the time to actually learn this kind of thing because it would be beneficial to my family and everybody. But instead, I buy Raspberry Pis.
No, you're gonna do good on what you focus on, Dor. Right. I have to look it up now.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's
I've got my mind set on you.
I got my mind set on you, yes. Which every time the song comes on, my wife will not stop.
When does it come on? When does the song come on?
When I'm completely out of podcast and she's in the car and I turn on my Google Play Music, once in a while this song comes on and she just this song only has 6 words in it.
Really?
No, of course it does. It has more than that. But it's not it isn't a deep song.
No, I mean it's catchy. That's all you need, right?
Everybody needs money once in a while. Apparently, he needed money when he did that song.
All right. Well, Todd, thank you for the email. Thank you for Robinhood free try. You know, I should try. I don't know. I'm probably banned from Robinhood after pulling a scam like that on him. I made like 85 cents off of him, and I did nothing for it.
It's easy. You simply close your bank account, then you reopen it. And then you go back and rejoin. And, you know, And change name. If you do that every day, I mean, think about it. In a month, you'll have $300 from them.
No, I'd have $30 from them. In a month.
My math isn't flawed.
No, that's okay. In 28 years, I would have had $300, though.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It's going to take time, Dor.
A whole lot of precious time.
All right. I think that's it for emails, isn't it? Am I wrong now?
I think you're right.
Okay, you know what? These guys didn't come to talk investments. If they wanted to listen to investments, they'd talk. They'd listen to Podnut's, Money for the Rest of Us? For the show?
Finances for the Rest of Us.
Finances for the Rest of Us. FFTTUS. Oh, wonderful. Anyway, okay. What's your first app, Dor?
Okay. My first app, So you just jumped it out of me. Okay, this one is going to be mini computer related. This one literally just hit on my radar. I'm not a fan of the Arduino form factor versus price. To me, they're not the high ratio of bang to the buck feature for them. But they are very cool, very useful, very functional mini computers. And there is a app by somebody.
Joamogcd. It's JOAOMGCD. It's JOAOMGCD. JOAOMGCD.
Okay, yeah, sure. It's called Auto App for Arduino. Brand new on the store. E for everyone. Does have some sort of in-app purchase. Completely free to download. Only three reviews. Between 100 and 500 installs, updated June 24th, current version 1.0. So this literally just hit the market. What this allows you to do is it allows you to basically control the pin output on your Arduino device. So you can have Tasker events on your phone interact with your mini computer dynamically. So hypothetically, you could say every time an email comes in from Eric, turn on the red LED on my mini computer.
This is cool. Wow. This is very, I've played with Arduinos and I own one, but I played with one when we were out at Linux Fest Northwest. This seems like a much quicker way to program it.
This is almost like if this, then that, like functionality for your mini computer. But if you're already good at the Tasker lingo and how they handle things in that app, then you can exploit it right away to interact with a mini computer.
I just wonder, now, programming an Arduino before, was we used a USB plugged into a computer, right? And we typed in the codes that we wanted it to do in it. And then we reset a pin, you know, reset it like a jumper switch on the Arduino to say, we're not in programming mode anymore. Run what we've done. Okay. You know, what I don't see these phones actually hooked up via a wire to the Arduino boards in the video. I just wonder if it's Wi-Fi or if it's Bluetooth or some other way that it's interacting with the Arduino board.
I'm 99% sure the device is on your home wired network.
Yeah, okay, it does say connects via USB OTG cable. Oh, no, it says OTG, Bluetooth, or Ethernet. Wi-Fi support is possible. If there is a demand, I can try. If there is a demand, I can try to implement it, being it's a new app. They have not done that so far. Okay, well, that's three times as many choices to interact with the Arduino board as I had before. I guess you would have to make sure that you have Bluetooth or Ethernet interfaces on your board.
Well, yeah, or you have a dongle or something else connected to it. So this is the kind of, to me, this is the kind of Internet of Things crafting, and I'm going to use that word liberally, crafting, that you can do in your own environment. I'm a huge fan of building it up yourself versus just dropping some corporate hub inside of your network that you have no control over, that you don't do updates on it or anything else. I like the idea of doing it yourself. And this, to me, looks like a good step one phase if you want to get into it.
Well, I think if you wanted to be the corporate guy yourself, you could drive around town, pull up to somebody's house, and say you are the, surveillance camera installer guy, or you're the gardener who is really cool at setting up some kind of a automatic sprinkler system guy. And you just pull out your phone, you got a bag of Arduino boards, you program it real quick for what this homeowner needs, install it. And these Arduino boards, once you've got them programmed, if you know what you're doing, you just set it and forget it, really. I mean, they're going to do their task that you program into it forever. They're not high-maintenance boards. They're just microcontrollers that do a certain thing. And if you get that set up right the first time, they will just sit there and do that thing for infinity, you know, kind of like their logo actually shows an infinity symbol on it because that's what they're made to do. You could really be a superstar with something like this.
I agree. And I do believe there is going to be a entrepreneurial opportunity for someone with enough muster, enough piss and vinegar behind them to basically offer people custom solutions, whether it be open and closing blinds, turning lights on and off, garage door control, like you said, home sprinkler control or anything else. And these are the kind of apps that can empower people to do more.
Yeah. Good find, Or. I will install this and I'd like to give it a try because I do have some microprocessor Arduino boards sitting here doing little or nothing at the current time.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, I'm going to bring an app next that Dor, he suggested that I should have installed or check out just before the show started. And I was we are on the same channel when Dor and I think. He sent it to me and I already actually had it in Mercurio. I was ready to bring it to the show. And this is called Google Expeditions. And Expeditions is basically it's been around for a while, but I think it was a closed thing for only educators to do. Basically, you get a 6-pack or 12-pack of cardboards, Google cardboards, in a classroom. You have everybody put them on, and you sync up with everybody's phones in the classroom, and you can give them a guided tour through different places. And as the tour guide, it shows on your screen, you know, you get to pick which scenario you're going to go to or which, scene you're going to visit. And you hit the start button. Everybody in the classroom's screens will go to a VR where they can just start looking around. And you have narration that pops up on your screen. So you're reading it out loud what these people are going to be seeing. So you can explain the picture that they're seeing. Or if there's a shark in the picture, you can explain what kind of shark it is, what they're famous for, if they eat humans, if they don't, you know, and these lessons are already made out for you. You don't have to do a whole lot of, with the ones that are included, you don't have to do a whole lot of research. You can just take these people on these expeditions. It's really cool. I mean, I have not found a use case for it. I've checked out a couple of the lessons, I guess you could call them, or collections, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I've just done the self-guided tours. I kind of read a little bit of the stuff, but it's just looking around, really. It's neat.
Okay. This is kind of crazy in this sense that it's cooperative VR. And I've never even imagined that. But I will say one of the things I find fantastic about this app is if you look at the screenshots, they're connected to a wireless network called Whose LAN Is It Anyway? Which I'm really right now tempted to change my LAN name to that just because that's a great Wi-Fi SSID name.
Yeah, it is. That is funny.
Yeah. Now, see, I could see... Here's the thing. I fully admit kids, quote unquote, these days need a little bit more than I needed as a kid to get involved, to get interested, to get encouraged. And I really do like the idea of giving them an interactive, quote unquote, experience to where someone can actually hold their hand through the process. Imagine, if you will, Eric, you and me, old guys, imagine Jacques Cousteau showing us the layer of the albino Madagascaran octopus in a virtual environment when that we were kids. That would have been really cool. Okay. So I definitely can see this in a classroom type setting. Now, of course, the classroom type setting entails they got a whole bunch of Android phones sitting around ready to do this because every kid can't be expected to have a phone. Right. But I really do like the idea of this. At least you can get an interactive experience. Now, as a school, I would think they would love this because the kids are sitting there quietly. They're sitting in their chair with their headgear on, just looking around.
Oddly, in the videos I've watched for this app, they were all standing,
okay,
which is dangerous.
It's you think, not, yeah. It's,
you should be sitting. I agree, Dor.
Right, but I would say... I don't see myself ever really using this unless, of course, we're someplace and they tell everyone, okay, now put this on so we can show you the new data center. I don't know, something like that. But I can see this being really useful in intense kind of training exercises or in schools.
I've never been a teacher. I was like a youth leader at a church for a few years for teenagers. If you can engage the student, I'm just talking out of my pie hole here because I don't know what the first thing is about being a teacher, but I would think if you can give an engaging experience at school, which is equal or above the experience that they're going to get at home, they are going to stay interested in what you've got to say and they're going to engage and not just like zone out and have their eyes glaze over or anything like that. If they read a book at school and you guys are all reading the same page or chapter at school, and then they can go home and do like VR or 3D video games, they're going to think the stuff at home is a lot cooler than the stuff at school. If you can stay a step ahead of what's at home with your school projects, I think that's going to make you one of the fun teachers and probably keep your students interested a little better.
Yeah, this to me just seems potential. It has a lot of potential is what I keep thinking.
And I think there should be some sort of a way that schools could take in older Android devices. I mean, there's enough Samsung Galaxy S2s and 3s and stuff out there that are just going around Craigslist for $20 that maybe if a school had a donation box for older technology like that and they could throw it in a cardboard and have the kids interact with something like this, I think the donations would come fairly easily if the people knew that this is what it was going towards.
Right. Yeah, I'll say, here's the thing I don't like about Daydream, and here's the thing that I do like about Google Cardboard. And the reason I like it, it's all a timing thing. I don't like the fact that right now, anything you own or buy basically will not work with Daydream because you have to have a 4K screen. I like Cardboard because you can go into a school and have old, used devices, and it will work just fine. Granted, the battery might not work long, the color might be a little bit off, but it will work.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of Daydream, I've heard you talk about Daydream for a while, Dor, a couple shows at least, and I never really, like, I thought for some reason, okay, maybe they've had two things called Daydream, but I was thinking that Daydream was some sort of a screensaver when your phone goes into sleep mode. I didn't realize that you were talking about a VR product that Google's coming out with until today. I think it was a 9 to 5 Android or something like that. Some kind of one of the YouTube people who cover some Android stuff talked about Daydream and a new app where. And this app is not out. I tried. You can only get it if you have a 6P, and it's basically a new paint app where the HTC Vive
3D painting.
Where you use a second phone as your paintbrush, and then you're painting in the virtual world in your main phone attached to your head. So that is not what I thought Daydream was, and you might poo-poo it, but I'm a little excited about what's coming with Daydream. I think that Google started something great with Cardboard, and they're rolling with it.
Well, it's the worst name ever because it used to be the Cyanogen Mod, I'm pretty sure, screensaver essentially, and they called it Daydream, and it was called that for years. I do believe they very recently changed the name from Daydream. And now Google has their own quote-unquote VR experience called Daydream. The problem is you might be looking forward to it. You better also be looking forward to a new phone because nothing that's out there will work with it. So you're going to for the first year or two, a lot of people are going to be left out of it. And that's really one of the things I don't like about it. But it's inevitable. It happens. That's technology. That's life. That's just the way it is. And I don't think the resolution of a VR experience is going to make or break it. Just like I don't believe in gaming, games are inherently better today because they have higher graphics versus games back in the day. Having that restriction, I honestly kind of don't like.
I'm sorry, Dora, I was tripped up. I was typing into the chat. What did you say?
I know, Captain Zero got to you. VR sucks.
I disagree. I can't wait. I think it's for a guy like me who doesn't have a huge TV, this could be my 70-inch TV. You know what I mean? I can virtually have whatever size TV I want, and I could actually sit like I'm in a home theater when I'm really just in a closet somewhere.
You have a 100-inch screen. Who are you lying to? The projector. It can go up to 100 inches.
I do, yeah. You know what? How many times I've used that door? I've used it one more time than you've used yours.
Oh, okay. Well, because we both got super cheap projectors. They were on sale. Mine was like $45. There's no trapezoidal controls, and I can't have it straight.
Is it Keystone? Keystone.
Like the horrible beer. So I can't adjust it, and I can't have it straight, at least unless I do something else. The brightness is quite low, so I have to have the light off in the room for it to really witness anything on it. So I'm really tempted to go upstairs and put it in my son's room and just let him do whatever he wants with it. Because, he's cool.
I looked in my son's room the other day. I'm like, would it work? I don't think it's going to work in his room. I need to study my daughter's room now to figure out if it would work in hers. But yeah, I'm with you, Dor. That's the use case, is to project on the side of a kid's wall. And my daughter doesn't have anything but a laptop in her room. And my son, he has an Xbox now. So an Xbox 360. He moved it up from wherever it was. So that may be her room. And she doesn't know this yet.
Well, don't tell her. Well, and see, here's one of my logics. A $35 Chromecast, a cheap Pro, and a cheap Pro projector like this. Anything from a phone, a tablet, or a laptop with the Chrome browser on it, you can project it on that screen.
Or an iPad. Or iPod.
She's got
an iPod Touch. She doesn't have a smartphone.
Right.
And she watches all of her YouTube on an iPod Touch.
There you go.
And she listens to all of her podcasts on the same iPod Touch. So that I think would be a good use case for her.
Very cool. Yeah. $35 Chromecast and you're in there. Okay.
I agree.
You do have an app. There was the VR. That's called Expeditions. Good name.
Expedition.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good name. Okay. I'm going to bring... Oh, let me close that one. I don't need Expeditions then. Okay. This one is one of those quote-unquote turn into a New York stereotype. This game is gorgeous. Gorgeous, Eric. It's called underscore Prism. So it's actually only called Prism, but for some reason, the first character in the name of the app is a underscore. By Clint C. U. Sue, maybe. E for everyone, in-app purchases, $3. Not free to download. $3. 148 reviews, between 1,000 and 5,000 installs, launched June 15th, current version 1.0. Another very new game. But I'm going to tell you right now, all you got to do is launch the video and just sit back and watch it. You don't even have to hear it. And it's going to look simple, a little bit fuzzy, you know, kind of not clean. And then you're going to start seeing stuff that's, ooh, this is better looking and better physics reaction than in a lot of other puzzle type games. So this is a three-dimensional puzzle game is the best way I can describe it. Requires thought. I will say that. This can be a grocery store line game, but you're going to have to actually sit down and think about some of these puzzles because it's truly in the three dimensions.
Have you played this game, Dor?
Yes.
Okay. So watching the video, I still have no idea what it's about. Are you moving parts around, and then do you know what your end product is supposed to look like?
No, you don't know. You build it along the way. It is touch. You can rotate the object, and then you can rotate pieces of object, and then you can move things on the face of the object. I like this. I don't like the sound. I don't like any sound on any game. I do not like the sound. I like to hear my podcast. But this was actually, I think, a pretty cool game. I would like to be able to get my son to sit down and play it for a little bit, but something tells me he'll play it for 5 minutes and then just stop playing.
I'm with him. Billy and I have the same taste when it comes to, and tolerance when it comes to games. Should I install this door? By looking at the screenshots and the video, I'm saying no. Should I give it a try, though? Do you think it's going to be,
if the beauty does not capture you,
the beauty is a thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you're at all liking the beauty of it, then I say it's worth a shot. If you're looking at it thinking it looks stupid, why does it look like that? Then no, this is not the game for you. I will say that.
I wish they gave me three levels for free just to try it out.
Well, it's still very, very new. I honestly think they're in the phase of, let's see who jumps on it. So what I would honestly encourage people, go to it, add it to your wish list, and then in a month or two, come check it out again. And I'm willing to bet they're either going to have a free version with free levels on it, or it'll be like $1.
That's a good idea. And also a good idea is the underscore in front of the word, just to, it's underscore Prism, PRISM. When you put the underscore and you do it, when you look through the Google Play Store, that differentiates your app from everybody else, because I'm sure there's probably 1,000 at least Prism apps. We're going to have like AOL keywords here pretty soon just to get to the things we need.
Unfortunately, yes. So it's underscore PRISM by Clint CU.
Okay. I'm going to bring an app. This is a music discovery app and video discovery app. And it may have a familiar ring to it. This is called BitTorrent Now.
Ah, I was going to bring this.
Were you? Okay. Well, good. Have you tried it out?
No.
I like music, and I like new music. So I don't know how it would know my style of music, but it pretty much right off the bat nailed it. I was playing songs that I've never heard of from bands I've never heard of. And I don't know if they just upload their stuff to this to get noticed or whatever, but the music I was listening to, I really dug. You know, I kind of like the EDM rap with the message kind of music. You know, if you guys have ever listened to Flowbots, things like that.
Oh yeah,
I the Flowbots, right, Dor?
Yeah, I got Flowbots in my freezer right now.
It keeps them fresh.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have fresh music. So anyway, this. It gives you not only songs, but videos. And, you know, some of the videos were just okay. A lot of videos of the guy singing, but he mixes in a couple, little video things, little snippets of other stuff in with it. But if you're into newer music, I would say give BitTorrent Now a chance. there's probably a lot more to this knowing BitTorrent and like BitTorrent Sync and all the the downloading and the peer-to-peer network end of BitTorrent. There's probably a lot more to it than what I'm saying, but that was just my experience with it so far. And I don't know if there's a thing where you like upload your own songs to it and you use a peer-to-peer to stream them back to yourself quickly or anything like that. I don't know. Do you know anything more about it, Dor?
No, but really quick, BitTorrent Sync was basically branched off, sold off. It's not part of BitTorrent anymore. I firmly believe they had to do that because there's no way any business will let BitTorrent software in their domain. So they got rid of it. They pushed it off. They have BitTorrent Live, which is a peer-to-peer streaming system where they're trying to decentralize streaming, live streaming and events. There was a couple political things on it recently. So they're like trying to branch out and like push people away from YouTube if possible. We're on YouTube. This to me wouldn't shock me if this is another test of BitTorrent emerging technology, if you
technology.
Will, on the back end. It wouldn't shock me that if you were watching a Wireshark network tracing of the activity from this app, you would not be getting your content from a single place. You'd be getting it from multiple places at the same time.
Is that middle out compression?
Exactly. No more. So there's no doubt the technology behind this is not your standard grandma's technology, but it's something very forward-thinking by Pied Piper or somebody. I want to support BitTorrent in a lot of different ways. I really do, because I like people disrupting. I like people pushing things more, and I like companies that encourage open stuff. And this is all independent music. This is all, I'm going to guess, Creative Commons-type music that's out there.
Seem like it.
I have no way to know if you can upload stuff. Probably you can't. Probably you have to be submitted like on your behalf to them kind of thing. But this is cool. And one of the things about this app that I liked is not a lot of newer applications that do music discovery allow for true background play. I did load this on a phone. I did hit play, and I did like the fact that it acted and performed very well when I left it in the background running. So to me, that was a plus, because most of these apps think you're going to sit there and watch the screen the entire time, when most of the time I don't think people do.
Yeah, I'm all for new ways, and I've been a big BitTorrent fan for a long time, even before they were into before people started using them as pirating software. I've always loved the idea.
Whoa! People use BitTorrent to pirate software?
Okay.
I didn't know this.
Well, some might have.
I always use it just to download Linux distributions.
Me too. But they did. Some people use it to do Adobe Acrobat stuff like that, and Star Wars movies.
Oh,
I know. I was shocked to hear that. But it was I was a fan of it early, and it was, and then I was telling people, hey, check out this BitTorrent thing where it's distributed, distributed over multiple computers, and it downloads super fast, and seeds and leeches and all parts of nature.
And to be honest, the one thing that attracted me towards this app is the icon, the avatar for the app, reminds me of the original movie Tron and Bit, the little thing that floated around next to Tron for a little bit of the movie. I'm a nerd, and
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, so if you want to experience new indie undiscovered music, BitTorrent now. Sounds good. Okay.
Jump next app, Dor.
Okay, the next app I'm going to bring is truly a beta app from everything I can tell. It's called Mirrodrin Beta. Mirrordrin Beta. By Dream Code, completely free, E for everyone, only 10 reviews, between 50 and 100 installs, uploaded June 18th, current version 0.0.8. When they say beta, they're not kidding, beta. Yeah. This is a quote-unquote like first world problem app. You have to have first world problems in order to have this app be any useful whatsoever. What this app aims to do is literally sync all of your notifications across all of your devices. So if you have an Android tablet and an Android phone and an Android mini computer and a couple other devices spread amongst your house, even if you don't have the application installed on your device, you can have a notification pushed to your device from a different app, from a different device. I kind of like the idea of this. Functionality-wise, I don't know how useful it's going to be for a huge percentage of the people out there, even when it becomes a full-fledged app. But right now, it's in beta, so I'm going to play with it. You can select which applications you want to sync with your other devices. Hypothetically, I don't have to have Voxer installed on my Jide Remix Ultra, but when I'm on my Jide, I can see my Voxer notifications pop up.
I can see a use case for this where, you know, say you have some devices that have limited amount of storage and you can't install 300 apps on that device. I personally seem to find myself installing the same apps across every device I use. But I don't have Voxer installed on my tablet, and that's a good idea. My tablet's very limited. It has an SD card, but it doesn't seem to use it correctly at all. So I can't install a ton of apps on it without it getting full. This, if it works, is a neat concept. Yes.
Yeah. For me, I have a separation between work devices and home devices, but sometimes I want notifications from one on the other. So I'm gonna give this a shot, see how well it works. And really quick update. I actually left a review in the store. I never leave reviews in Google Play for anything. But Kin Screen by, I believe it was TikTok. I installed it and I've been running it for about a week. And I gotta say, Kin Screen. I uninstalled, I deactivated Scribble, and since then uninstalled Scribble. I do not need it. Yeah, Scribble has not been updated in years.
Because it didn't need to be, right?
Well, it didn't need to be, but it really was getting quite long in the tooth, quite ugly, and I was experiencing a little intermittent problems with it every now and then. The one thing I like about this app was the interface to me was much more simplified than Scribble, and I like the fact that you can set notification priority. So you can change it to where if it shows up in your notification or how high of a priority does it appear in your notification. For this app itself. Oh, so you can have it lower in your shade, which I like. You can very easily customize the degree angles. It's one of the things I liked. In Scribble, it was a little bit tricky to do it, but you could do it. In this one, it's just one page of settings and you simply just click in it and type a different number. And the whole time on the top of your screen, it shows you what your angle is.
So you could set it up as you're using it then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this you brought this last week, right? Or the week before?
The developer contacted us, and yes, we brought and this it last
just,
week.
Okay, this just has tons and tons and tons of settings that you can manipulate your device to do all kinds of things. It was by TechTic. Yes. TEQTIC.
Yeah, so I just want to give a quick update. I actually left a review. This is now the default app I'm installing for my screen because I have to have my screen stay on quite frequently. Like I want to set my phone down next to me, but type what I'm reading off of it into a computer. So I just, you know, prop it up so it's at an angle and I just type it and I have to worry about the screen turning off. Sometimes you hand your phone to people and when they do stuff, the screen goes off and they just, I don't know what to do. Even though they have a smartphone for years, you know, everyone seems to panic at that. So I like having these kind of apps on my phone so I can keep the screen on until it's obvious, quote unquote, turn it off.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. I'm installing it. I didn't install it before. I will now. You sold me, Dor. I don't know how much I need it, but I will check it out and see if I can't live without it after setting it up. Gotcha. And I will probably keep it installed forever. It's one of those things like Keyring, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once you start using it.
Yeah. So I'm tempted to ask that developer, why don't you look at updating and made share? Because that hasn't been updated in like 4 years.
Oh, same developer?
No, I'm tempted to ask this developer who did Kinscreen to look at updating, like to do a new version of And Made Share, but a more modern looking, and if he can think of added functionality, put it in there too.
Okay, I'm going to bring an app that you had suggested to me a few weeks back, and This is called Darkness Roller Coaster VR. So I don't know. Is this my new niche or something where I bring VR apps? If you want to play along at home, go get yourself a 99-cent cardboard from Amazon. Then you can play along at home. If you're not, if you get tired of hearing me talk about all these VR apps because you don't have a cardboard yet, just go get one. They're super cheap.
But also I'll say, if you look on Amazon and all you find is $20 and $30 cardboard headsets, email us at aaa@podnas.com and we'll make Eric send you a link to a 99-cent one.
Okay, maybe you won't find those. Okay.
Oh.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to get a 99-cent one. I wasn't going to, but I will. And we're going to have another contest. And for those 3,000 people who listen to the show who don't have a VR headset yet of some sort, we will then make a contest to give one of those 3,000 people a freebie so that they can join in with all the fun. Because it is fun. Honestly, Dorr may poo-poo it and think that, I don't know, he's some kind of a VR yourself. Why the non-love?
It ain't non-love. It's my shock and dismay at people's overreaction to it, swearing it's the future of technology. Ooh, do, 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 do. I mean, I'm old. I've heard this a million times before. For how many years did people swear, for instance, 3D televisions? Okay. To me, it's the same kind of thing. This has a niche. This has a purpose. And I will say, when you're on rails, quote unquote, on rails, like a roller coaster, I think it gives you the best possible experience because then all you got to do is just sit there and turn your head around and look. And the people know from which angle you're going to be looking at stuff so you can have the best possible experience on it. So I like the idea of roller coasters, but roller coasters to me are the kind of app you install, you run, you hand it to somebody else, tell them to do it, and then you uninstall it.
You're absolutely right, Dorr. You do. And this is a gateway drug for VR, these roller coaster apps. Because this one gives you a kind of a choose your own adventure. You can go this way to the left, this way to the right.
And trust me, that helps a lot.
It does. Once you do both of those, you're pretty much done. And I think this app was not free. I think I paid something for it, but I can't tell now.
$1.
So I did pay $1, but I'm some sort of VR evangelist because I did sell a coworker on getting a VR headset just from this app itself.
Right.
Because she wants to go home and show her husband. It's like, oh, look at this thing. And I told him, I'm like, great. Show him a roller coaster app first. But then, and I don't know if you've done this yet, Dorr, go on to YouTube 360. Type in 360 video into YouTube. Hit the VR button at the bottom and then throw that thing on your face. And enjoy it, because basically you are then going to go hang gliding where you've never been hang gliding before, and you can totally look around and look at the dude who's like holding the camera, and he's smiling at the camera while you're flying around with them. And there's just so many different videos out there on YouTube that you can enjoy. And then one more thing, Google Earth is I wouldn't say it's the killer app for VR, but it is one that works very, very, very well with VR. And Google Earth is anywhere in America, on almost every street in most towns, you can just cruise around,
Right.
When I was a small kid, maybe when it was just Atari, I used to have this dream that there would be a video game I would look out the screen door of my house when I was about the size that I could look out the screen part. I'm like, someday, all there's going to be, it's going to be on TV, and you're going to look out, and you're going to see these little lines, but it's going to be just like you could just drive through somebody's town. And that was my whole dream. Okay, so Grand Theft Auto has brought that home to me. But then, like Google Earth could actually be my town. So that's, anyway, Darkness Roller Coaster VR. If you got people coming over and you want to show off your VR headset, it's worth a buck. It's a pretty neat little thing. It's kind of spooky. It's kind of like a haunted house roller coaster put together in one.
Right. And as a haunted house, though, the one thing I can't imagine, but of course I've been wrong many times before, is next Halloween going to a place and having people say, okay, everybody put on your headsets. Because I am not going to be scared by something that's in a headset.
Well, it's just so dangerous to not be sitting down with a headset on.
Well, I know. But, So I do like the idea of saying to somebody, oh, no, it's cool. Come here, sit down, put this on, and then have them experience, because it's almost like the old Nintendo Wii. Part of the joy of the Nintendo Wii was not playing it. It was playing it with other people, and it was like you could see how stupid somebody looked playing boxing with a Wii, and then you realize, I look that stupid too.
Yeah, people with a VR headset strapped to their face it's not a great look.
No, it's not.
Now, when you went to the mall, say 20 years ago, and they had that like fake space shuttle looking thing parked in the mall, and you paid $5 to climb in with 10 other people, and it was just like a 32-inch screen in the front of it, and the whole thing was on hydraulics, and it would move, and it made you feel like you were in a roller coaster. Did you think that was a cool thing at all? I dug that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Hey, I have no idea what you're talking about, but in Epcot Center, there is a ride called Mission to Mars. In Mission to Mars, you're put in a very small compartment, and I mean, the back of your head is almost touching, and the front of your head, there's a screen inches from your face. And you're put in a thing with like four other people. Each person has a job. One person is the navigator. One person is the a pilot. One person controls oxygen and then, all this kind of stuff. And it's on like a gyroscopic thing where it moves around and it shifts you back and forth. And it starts out, you go into the rocket, you like tilt back, you feel yourself tilting back, looking up, and then you take off on the rocket and you go, and it's kind of like that. And I do think it's cool as a novelty. Haha, cute, yes. And then there's like wind in the back of your head hitting you. And as a novelty, it's really cool, but it's not the kind of thing where I'm like, this is epic, I gotta go do it again. This is epic, I gotta go do it again. It's okay. I like going on the Superman Ride of Steel ride, going up what appears to be, from looking up at it, 15 stories up in the air, and coming down pretty close to a 90-degree angle. And I'm the guy, my goal is, as soon as the cart starts to move, my hands go up. And I never put my hands down again for the entire ride. And that's my goal. And that's cool. That's fun. Why? Because my instinct is to hold on to that thing for dear life. But, I fight it the whole time.
You're stepping out of your comfort zone with it.
Right. When I have a screen in front of me, I know it's manipulated reality. It doesn't hold the same appeal. But I've been to Disney World every bit of 6 times, Epcot Center at least 3 times, Busch Gardens probably a dozen times, King's Dominion a dozen times, Six Flags 20 times, Hershey Park at least 5 times, because my parents took us everywhere.
Maybe that's why I like VR so much, because I honestly, it's been probably, 25 years since I've been to any kind of amusement park, and I've only been to one like 4 times, and I went to 3 different ones. Probably 6 times in my life I've been to an amusement park, and I haven't been to one since I got out of high school.
Yeah, see, I've been on Space Mountain more times than some people are years old who are listening to the show right now. You know what I mean? That's how many times I've been on Space Mountain. Why? Because it's Space Friggin' Mountain.
And that's a ride?
It's a ride where it's completely dark roller coaster. You're enclosed in an area. You basically don't see anything except lights flashing by you.
Yeah, so I've never seen that, something like that. Man, I'm going to Daytona. I'm not going to be that far from Disney, but none of my family has any interest in it. Well, I asked them all.
Some people like to go to sporting events. Some people like to pay $1,000s for their kids to be in dance stuff. Me, I'm amusement park. I'm the most immature of immature of immature.
Yeah. I'm not against it. I mean, there's a roller coaster and a Ferris wheel on the beach now there in Daytona. So we'll definitely hit that just to say that we went on one. But I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm missing anymore. I'm sure they're totally different than the last time I was on them, too. I just didn't like it. My glasses banged up and kind of turned me off to them. You got another app, Door?
I'll bring 2 more really quickie. The first one was another one I just found. I like the idea of it, except, hey, this is not for me app. This app is called App Volume Control, and there is an App Volume Control Pro. What this allows you to do is to individually select each individual app and change each volume accordingly. So hypothetically, when you open up Angry Birds, you can turn your media down, your ringer up, your alarm off, your notification up, and you can change all these volumes independently, and it's trigger-based. So you configure this, and then every time you go launch the app, the volumes adjust. You can set default volumes too. I'm honestly shocked we didn't bring this app, and I looked in the notes a couple times, and I don't see it there.
It looks familiar, and SpyCore sounds eerily,
right. I couldn't find it anywhere. Maybe it is. The reason I don't use this app is because it would be the same setting for everything, which is the same volume I have it set to right now, which is media all the way up, ringer all the way down, notifications all the way down, alarms all the way down, and system all the way down. All I want to hear is my podcast. I don't want to hear anything else. So if there was a separate volume called game volume, that would be off as well.
You did bring another one similar to it called Volume Control, not App Volume Control, back in episode 379.
Right. This one definitely seems advanced, I will say that. Maybe more advanced, and you can set different volumes. Okay, you can also set different volumes per app, per connection as well. So for Angry Birds on speaker, you can have one volume. Angry Birds on headset, you can have completely different configuration. Angry Birds on Bluetooth, another completely different configuration. So
I could think of uses for this stuff. Yeah.
I think a lot of people can, just not me. Okay. Yeah. That was called App Volume Control, and there's an App Volume Control Pro. We're going to link to the free version in our notes. Okay, one more app I'm going to bring just because it has is like oozing with retroness. It's called Neo Turf Masters, and this is by .emu. .emu is one of the developers. If you want a good batch of games, just go look at .emu, .emu developer in the Play Store, and just look at all the games they've done. They've done everything from Another World, which is an exact export of Another World, R-Type, Double Dragon Trilogy, on and on and on and on and on. This is a golf game, and it's the old mechanic of the power meter goes up and down, based upon your individual player's talents is the speed of it, and then when you tap, it stops the power, and then on the other side, you have perfect aim, and then off back and forth, and the speed and the width of the bad zones is directly proportional to your player's talent. So it's the very old mechanic as well of gameplay, and it literally looks like something off of like Super Nintendo maybe. There is a place you can go in and actually change the graphical settings, turn them up or down. But this is the kind of thing that I just thought was good old school style gameplay. Worked pretty good, played exactly as expected. There is some kind of multiplayer, which to be honest, I never... Oh, local turn-based multiplayer. So if you're in the same area as other people, you can each say, okay, now let's play a multiplayer game. It was $3, but honestly, .emu is one of those developers. I kind of, once a month or so, feel like I gotta throw them some kind of money because they're doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's definitely your type of app, Dor, with the look, but I think this looks like it'd be fun, especially with some local multiplayer. You could take turns back and forth and just kind of sit around and hit around and golf. It reminds me of, like, an arcade game, you know, the look of it.
Well, to be honest, that's what I think it is. I think Neo Geo did a arcade game called Turf Masters, and .emu is basically redoing it as an Android game with virtually the exact same look and feel, and I do believe it's the same gameplay mechanics as well.
It says that it was also known as Big Tournament Golf in Japan. Neo Turf Masters is an arcade classic that touched an entire generation. So maybe I glanced over it at a... You know, the only golf game I can really think of in an arcade or any situation is the one with the ball.
Golden Tee.
Golden Tee, yeah. That's probably the first golf game. I mean, it's hard to see me... going through 18 holes at an arcade without really getting bored.
That game I completely sucked at because that was trackball. And that, you know, you can't be precise repetitively with a trackball without extreme practice.
Oh, yeah. I was always off to the left or the right every time. Right.
Yeah, so this is Neo Turf Masters by DOTEMU. $3, E for everyone, no in-app purchases, only 21 reviews, 4.9 rating, literally updated June 29th, which is today, yesterday, current version 1.0.0. So once again, I'm just going to say this. I've purposely been trying to say version numbers more often just to emphasize to people, we truly try to bring you the absolute freshest of the newest stuff that we really hope you guys don't hear about someplace else.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, it says between 1 and 5 installs, and Big Daddy Door here is one of the 5 people.
Probably number 3.
Yeah.
I've got one more app, too, since we're I got one to empty my tank. And see, I can't keep up with Dor and how new his apps are, but this is a newer app that I've found. It's called Dictionary Lingui, L-I-N-G-U-E-E, after the regular word dictionary, and it's by Lingui. This is one of those apps that will translate one language to another.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't do, you know, like sometimes you want to know a phrase, like, how do I get to the bus stop? This is not for that. But the thing this does different, and which is really nice, is it'll work offline. If you do not have a connection, you can still get the translation you need. I thought that was probably useful, especially for me where I've got areas where I've got dead zones. Say if you're visiting some foreign country and your carrier is not any good there, you can maybe make your way through the country using this app offline with their offline mode.
Very cool.
I thought it worked pretty good.
Offline is important, I'll say, to a lot of people, especially with language translation. I will say this is a ridiculously elegant-looking app. This is literally like, you know, whoever did this app put a lot of time and effort into making it not be at all, like, jarring to your eyes. It's ridiculously smooth-looking. Now, I will say, it's showing you translation of individual words. Me, I would need to, like, put in paragraphs or sentences. Because when someone says something to me in a text message that's not in English, I need the whole damn thing translated. Which I know is, you know, a little bit different.
Do you get text messages in other languages?
I do once in a while, yes. At least I used to once in a while get completely... I think it was Mandarin, actually, text messages. And I know all it was just basically spam texts, you know.
Probably a job offer, Doran.
Well, that's why I got a new phone number. I'm perfect. I've been at my place for 20 years. Talk to me in about a decade.
All right. You got anything else for the show tonight, Dor?
No, I think we're pretty good.
All right. Well, I want to say thanks to the people in the chat room. I know they were trying to trip us up earlier, and I hadn't even looked at the chat room during all of that. They did manage to get me to trip up a little bit, but...
Not me. Mainly because I ignore them, because I have to, or else they would trip me up.
Yeah, and they did. And somehow it was so weird just now. I was scanning through the text message, through the messages in the chat room, and somehow I hit the play on our video player, because you can watch us live, too. And I just watched myself live, hear me say the things I just said, and I can't handle that door.
No, too much. I understand.
Okay, well, I want to thank everybody for listening, and especially those of you guys who are sharing this show with your friends and coworkers. Everybody's got an Android phone. People are going to be asking you what apps to, you know, install for this, or, you know, like, hey, what app should I use for the weather? Tell them where you've heard about these apps. You know, I mean, it's cool that you always have the answer for them, but also tell them, hey, man, there's this other app called, you know, Castback, Podcast Addict, Google Play Music. Introduce them to podcasting and podcasts. I mean, I'm sure they've heard of it by now. Just let them dip their toes in that water and try it a little bit. And when you set it up for them, throw the Android App Addict show on there so that they can learn about new apps along with you. And then you guys have something to talk about around the water, you know, the water cooler too.
Yeah, and I'll say, tripping me up during a show is literally like saying, I got blinded by the sun. It's that easy and simple to do. All you gotta do is look at the sun, you're gonna be blinded. I can't pay any attention to anything in the chat, or quite literally, I will be completely lost in like three in like 3.5 seconds.
Yeah. Captain Zero had a real campaign going on in there, and I didn't get into there till it was over. Sorry, Captain. That was funny.
Very cool.
All right. Well, podnuts.com/Amazon if you want to throw a little love towards Door, and while you're making your regular Amazon purchases for all of your household supplies, groceries, and tech gadgets. That works for us. That works for you. You don't notice a difference. Your shipping still costs the same. Your products still cost the same. Podnuts get supported. And if you like the show and you like to keep hearing it, Patreon is a great way to go. To donate a little bit to each show or each month, or however you want to set it up, and support those who support you. We appreciate it. And we will talk to you next week.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.